Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 9. 2 Samuel, chapter 9. We want to begin reading at verse 1. We'll read the entire chapter. It's a very short chapter. 2 Samuel, chapter 9. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "Your servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may know, that I may show the kindness of God to him?" And Ziba said to the king, "Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar." Then David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said to Mephibosheth, and he answered, "Behold your servant." And David said to him, "Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore you all the land of Saul, your father. And you shall eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is your servant that you should look upon him, upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called the Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given to your master's son all that pertaineth to Saul and to all his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall till the land for him, and you shall bring in the fruits, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba to the king, "According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so shall your servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelled in the house of Ziba were servant to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. The Lord allowed a blessing to the reading of his holy and precious word. Amen. May we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its reading and our hearing, and we pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, will cause that light may be brought therefrom, that our hearts may be open to receive the word of God, and that, O Lord, thy servant who stands before this great congregation, may your God speak in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that you will be glorified, that you will draw men and women, boys and girls to yourself. It's our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. This passage that I have read in your hearing this evening is a type or a picture of the mercy of God shown, demonstrated to a sinner. And I want to speak to you this evening on the theme of picture of mercy. A picture of mercy. David pictures for us God ensuring mercy to a sinner. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, is a type or a picture of the sinner in need of God's mercy. And also a picture of a sinner who has experienced the mercy and the forgiveness and the kindness of God. And as I speak this evening, maybe there is someone here in this congregation. You are in great need of the mercy and forgiveness of God. I want to say to you, on the authority of God's word, it is available to you this evening. The Bible declares, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion failed not. And I want to say to you that you are here this evening because God knew that you need to hear this message. God knew that you needed to know that his mercy is available to you, that God is a God of mercy and grace and compassion, that he loves you, that he gave his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might experience the mercy of God. Again, my friend, you are alive tonight because God did not deal with you according to your sins, according to your iniquity. And so tonight can be your night to experience the grace and the mercy of God. As we look at this passage, we want to begin as we look at Mephibosheth, the type of the sinner. We want to look at this person who was the object of mercy and compassion of David. And then we want to relate it to man and his relationship with God. How you and I, those of us who have trusted on Jesus Christ, have experienced that mercy and compassion in our lives. And first of all, I want you to note Mephibosheth's position. Verse 1 and 3 gives us this. It says, and David said, is there yet any that is of the house, left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Verse 3, and the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? And Ziba said to the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. Note his position. He was the son of Jonathan. He was the grandson of Saul. And that makes him a prince. His father, Jonathan, was heir to the throne. And that says to me and you that he, Mephibosheth, had an exalted position. He lived in the palace. He was catered to as a child. He was privileged, as we would say today. He had it all. Maids and servants. All that he would ever need in life, he had. But one day something happened that caused all of that to crash, come down. And when we look at this passage, we see no longer a child living in an exalted position, living in a palace catered to. But we find him living in a house of the house of Maker. Maker means salesman or one who was sold. Because of his family's no longer exalted position, we see this young man in the home of Maker. We don't know if he sold himself to Maker because of his family position. Or maybe he was living there off the good graces of this man. But because of the fall of his family, because he no longer experienced and was living in an exalted position, he found himself living in a depraved or a less position that he was used to. And what a picture of man. Through Adam, we had an exalted position. We belonged not only to a priestly tribe, but we were considered the offsprings of God. You can trace the images of God's glory on us, the Father of spirits. The Bible said that we, man, was made in the likeness and the image of God. Adam and Eve dwelt in the very presence of God, and they had fellowship with God. God came down in the cool of the day, and he met with them and communed with them. They entered into the very glory and presence of the Almighty God. And here we are today, just like Mephibosheth, who had an exalted position, who walked in the presence of a prince and of his grandfather, the king, who had it all. And then we look at the Garden of Eden. Adam had the run of the garden. He had the run of the garden. He had an exalted position. He walked in the presence of the Almighty God. He had fellowship with God. He had authority in the garden. He had dominion. And now look at man. Look at you. Look at me. We no longer bear the image of God. God's image has been defaced
in man, in you and me. And instead of dwelling in the very presence of the Almighty God, the Bible says that our iniquities have separated us from Him. No more communion, no more fellowship. And there are people today on this island who do not even want to darken the door of a church because they don't want to have fellowship with God. It's because something dreadful happened thousands of years ago that broke that fellowship. And now man is no longer having fellowship with God. But the Bible says that man is at enmity with God. That man is the enemy of God, Paul says. No longer an exalted position. What it must have been like for Adam and Eve to have communion with the thrice holy God. To enter into His presence. But that was lost. No longer an exalted position. But then we look again at Mephibosheth, we see his condition. The Bible says, and the king said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I might show the kindness of God to him? And it goes on to say, Ziba said to him, that Jonathan has a son, which is lame on his feet. Is there yet any of the house of Saul? His condition was a hopeless condition. He was of the house of Saul. He was a part of a rejected family. His grandfather, on two occasions, when God had given him specific commands to go out and do specific tasks, disobeyed God. And because he disobeyed God, on the final commandment, but God gave and told him to go and destroy all of the Amalekites. Man, woman, child, beast, everything. Saul and the people disobeyed God. And the Bible said that Samuel came. And Samuel said to Saul, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. The result of his disobedience brought rejection to him and his entire family. Defeat and death followed. Jonathan was killed. Saul was killed. His other sons was killed. And as a result of that, Mephibosheth, the exalted position that he enjoyed as a prince in the house of Saul and Jonathan, came about and rejected. His condition was hopeless. There was no other way to get back to the kingdom because God had already given it to someone else. And because of our disobedience, because of Adam's disobedience, man was rejected and cast into the Garden of Eden. The Bible said that death came upon the human family as it did upon the family of Saul. The Bible says, therefore, as by one man sin and death came upon all men, for that all have sinned, the Bible says. Our condition before God has been hopeless. The Bible says, therefore remember that ye being in times past Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. Mephibosheth. His condition was a hopeless condition. He was a part of a family that was rejected by God. And he lived in a condition that displayed that. He lost the exalted position that he had. And mankind, because we had an exalted position with God, we walked with God, we talked with God, we fellowshiped with God. But when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible said that death came upon the whole human family. We were without Christ, we were without God, we were without hope. And today, my friend, apart from Jesus Christ, that is your condition. You are hopeless. Nothing can bring you back to God. No good works. Nothing in yourself can ingratiate you to God. God said that you are hopelessly lost. He was hopeless. But he was also helpless. He was lame, verse 3 says, on his feet. He was lame on his feet because of a fall. 2 Samuel chapter 4 gives us this story that when the news came that Saul, Jonathan, and the rest of his sons and the armies of Israel was defeated, Mephibosheth began to run and to flee, and she fell. And then falling, the baby was injured, and he became lame or crippled on his feet. He was helpless. The quality of his life was affected because he was crippled. He could not do the things for himself that he needed to do. He needed others to help him. He needed others to help him get around. He could not even come to the king on his own. He needed help. He needed help. My friend, whether you realize it or not, you need help. The quality of your life that God has for you, until you come to know Jesus Christ, you could never have the quality of life that God wants you to have. You cannot experience the joy of God in your life. You cannot live a holy life before God. You need His help. You cannot worship and praise God as you ought, because only those who have been indwelt by the Spirit of the living God, who have experienced the forgiveness of their sins, can be able to worship and to praise God. Jesus said that I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, with meaning, with joy, with purpose. Without Jesus Christ, my friend, you are helpless. You cannot achieve these things on your own. The quality of your life is not what God would have it to be. But if you trust Jesus Christ, it can be tonight. If you call out for God's mercy, it can be. And you need help. And Jesus came that He might help you. We cannot come to God on our own. We need help. We need help. The Bible said that man is walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And that we are, our hearts, our minds, is full of vanity, futility, empty, being void of God. Now without God, and you are without hope. Doesn't matter how much you come to Sunday school as a young person here in this church. No matter how many services you attend here and you hear the message of the gospel. If you have never trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, you are hopeless and you are helpless apart from Him. And you need Him to get to God. You need Him to change your life. God knows that we need help. God knows that. God knew that Adam and Eve, after they had sinned, needed help. And God provided a sacrifice for them. The Bible said that God covered them in their nakedness, signifying that an animal died that they might be helped. Cain and Abel needed help. Down through the scriptures we see God providing a way to come to Him. He knew that people would be helpless. And all of the sacrifices in the Old Testament showed and demonstrated that man needed help to get to God. God provided priests that they might be able to lead the people into God. And God, in these last days, Jesus Christ, has become the way that we might find help, that we might find a way back to God, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. Jesus Christ is God's way. The Bible said, neither there salvation in any other, because there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. He is the help that God has given to us. His condition, he was hopeless. He was helpless. The Bible says he was fruitless. Verse 5. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lo-debar. He lived in Lo-debar. Lo-debar means no pasture. He was living in a place where he was not productive. The land brought forth nothing. No matter how hard they worked it, nothing. So it is with you. So it is with me. No matter how successful you are in this world, my friend, accumulating things and wealth, accumulating position, gain, the Bible says that all of your righteousness is as filthy rags. It's amazing today how people will sell their soul for the Almighty God. It's amazing how people will sell their soul to get position and material things. And yet they don't understand that God says that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mephibosheth was fruitless. And I say to you, my friend, as a young person, maybe a young person here tonight, your goal in life is to become rich. But my friend, the greatest wealth that you can have, prosperity, is knowing Jesus Christ. Being assured of heaven. This man was fruitless. He lived in a place of fruitlessness. It doesn't matter, Bill Gates with all of his billions. In man's eyes, he is the richest man in the world in God's sight. Without Jesus Christ, he's the poorest man. Someone has said, in the story of the rich and the poor man who died, one went in Abraham's bosom to paradise, the other went to hell. That there was a conversation between the place of departed spirits for the righteous and the evil dead. So it was not a millionaire in hell talking to a poor man in paradise. It was a millionaire in hell talking to a multi-billionaire in heaven or in paradise. Because when you die in Christ, you die rich. As you live in Christ, you are rich. Because we are children of the King. I was saying to someone recently right here, we don't take that, we don't understand that, and we don't want to receive that. Many times as Christians, we want to show that we are humble, but we are the children of God, the creator of the universe, the one who owns the hills and the cattle on the thousand hills, the one who created everything. And the Bible says, because we are in Jesus Christ, that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are rich. Person outside of Jesus Christ, fruitless. Can't produce anything of pleasing to God. All of your righteousness, all of your good works, all of your good deeds, my friend, the Bible says, are as filthy rags. Mephibosheth, a picture of the sinner. Hopeless, helpless, fruitless. What a picture. But then we come to David in this passage. David, who's the type of our Heavenly Father. You see David's compassion. David shows kindness or mercy to one who did not deserve it. David says in verse 1, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul? Of the house of Saul. Usually in those days in the Orient, when a new king took over, as a rule immediately, they wiped out the seed of the former ruler because they did not want any challenge to their right to rule. But we see David here showing kindness to one who did not deserve it. No form or fashion. The Bible says we were ungodly sinners. The Bible says that we are the enemies of God. The Bible says that we have turned our backs upon God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But yet we see God in his grace and his mercy and his compassion reaching out to you, reaching out to me. God looks down upon you. He looked upon man. And he saw our need. Someone has sung, and rightly so, God looked beyond our faults, and he saw our need. My friend, God is looking at your heart tonight. He sees the sin. He sees the disobedience. He sees the lifestyle. He sees your stubbornness and your rebelliousness against him and against his word. But yet God looks beyond that. He sees your need for him. That's why he in his infinite mercy allowed you to be here tonight. To let you know that he's a God of compassion and mercy. Despite your hopelessness and your helplessness and your fruitlessness, your condition, God is reaching out to you. David shows kindness to one who did not deserve it. David's kindness or mercy to Mephibosheth was based, as Our Lady sung, on a covenant he had with Jonathan. The Bible says, when he introduced David and Jonathan came together in 1 Samuel chapter 18, Jonathan's heart was knitted to David. The Bible says that he loved David so much that he stripped himself of his armor and gave it to David. He loved David so much he was willing to even experience the wrath of his father against himself because he loved David. He loved David. It was based upon this covenant. It was based upon this relationship. It's 1 Samuel chapter 20. Jonathan acknowledges in verse 14 to verse 17 that God was giving the kingdom to David. And he says, when you come to the kingdom, show mercy to my family. I'm paraphrasing here. He said, remember my family. And they made a covenant between themselves. And it's based upon this covenant that now David is remembering anyone of the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. God's mercy and love can be experienced by you tonight because of the new covenant made through the sacrifice of the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke 22 and 20, likewise also the cup after supper being, I'm saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for many. And my friend, you and I are able to experience the forgiveness of God and the mercy of God because of a covenant that was established over almost 2,000 years ago on the hills of Calvary. Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin, became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The Bible says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Jesus Christ tasted death, that he might establish a covenant that you and I might be, I come to a thrice holy God, to the Heavenly Father, through the Son, through the blood covenant established by Jesus Christ almost 2,000 years ago. David said, if there's any of the house of Saul, that I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake. David's kindness or mercy to Mephibosheth is based on this covenant. David seeks Mephibosheth. I like this. Up from verse 2 to 5, you see David seeking Mephibosheth. And there was of the house of Saul a servant. Verse 3, and King said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God to him? And Ziba said to the king, Jonathan has yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said to him, where is he? And he said to the king, behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel and Lodibar. The king sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodibar. David sought Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth had no interest in King David whatsoever. Maybe he was there in Lodibar thinking about the misery he was in, the position that he was in, the fact that he was no longer the prince of the nation, no longer in an exalted position, no longer being catered to, no longer having the maids around him that he usually had or used to have. Maybe he was there worrying about where his next meal was going to come from. He was there maybe considering, maybe David was going to find out that I am living here one day and come and take my life. Maybe he was considering these things. Maybe you tonight are considering a lot of things. Where are you headed? Maybe you are here, you are a fisherman, and you are considering tomorrow you're going to be beginning and getting your boat ready and thinking about the catch and the money that's going to be coming in maybe after the first trip and the second trip. Maybe you are thinking about a young lady you are hoping to marry. Maybe you're considering or thinking about some domestic situation in your home. Maybe you are thinking about suicide. Maybe you are thinking about a loved one who was hurt and sick. All kinds of things are going through your mind, but you have not been thinking about God, but God has been thinking about you. And before the foundation of the world, God sent his son. God seeks the sinner. Adam and Eve in the garden, after they had partaken of the fruit, and God came down in the cool of the day, the Bible said that they hid themselves from God. But yet God came seeking them. And God is seeking you tonight. Don't hide behind excuses. Don't hide behind indifference and coldness. God sought Adam and Eve. In the parable in Luke 15, you see the shepherd seeking the sheep. He was lost. You see the lily scraping around, looking under for a coin. You see the father seeking the son. Jesus said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God is seeking you tonight, that you might experience His mercy and His grace and His compassion. Don't turn Him away. Don't spurn Him. God's mercy is yours. David seeks Mephibosheth. God is seeking you. Mephibosheth had no thought of God. Maybe you don't either. But God thinks about you. And He's thinking about you because He loves you. And He wants to impart His mercy and grace to you. David's compassion would note the contrition of Mephibosheth. Verse 6, and now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, your servant. Fell on his face and did reverence. A sense of humility. 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 My friend, one of the greatest obstacles for men and women and boys and girls to experiencing God's mercy and grace and love today is pride. It's coldness. It's indifference. But David sent for Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth did not say, I can't come. He did not say, I don't need David's charity. He did not say, he is my father's and my grandfather's enemy. I don't need him. Mephibosheth, realizing that he is now being exposed and invited to come to the king, and the mercy of the king has been extended to him. The graciousness of the king is his. And he falls upon his face in reverence and humility before the king. He says, Behold your servant, a sign of the words of total surrender and openness to whatever the king wants. There are people today, and I hope I'm not speaking to any, God who sought you and is seeking you, and who's saying to you tonight, come. Are you going to say, no, I don't need your mercy, I don't need your grace. A man on my own, and my own God, on my own way. Or are you going to be like what is? You will fall on your face and say, Lord, merciful to me, a sinner. Or are you going to be like the Pharisee, self-righteous?